The West Live.
The West Live
with Ben O'Shea.
Now, we're hearing a lot about a skills crisis here in WA, and with the state government's much-anticipated skills summit postponed due to lockdown, there's now a sense of urgency amongst the industry. Joining me now from the Australian Manufacturing Workers Union is State Secretary Steve McCartney. Good morning, Steve.
Good morning, Ben.
Now, does the fact that we're back in this situation again suggest that we've learnt nothing from the previous boom?
I think you're absolutely right, Ben. We've been playing this game for about 25 years now, when you think about it, and we come back to the same story every time. We need more skills, we need more skills. What we need is a permanent long-term solution.
Mm. And so where does the blame lie here? Is it the government not doing enough? Is it big business not doing their part?
I think it's companies' addiction to casualisation and labour hire. Because what it does, it devoids them of the responsibility to train anybody. And, of course, they get they maximise the outcome without actually reinvesting in the things that they're complaining about right now, and that's developing the skills that we need in our state.
Yeah, right. And so where exactly are the major shortages at the moment? What industries are having the most problems filling gaps?
Well, every mining industry that wants to make a bigger profit and every oil and gas industry that wants to make a bigger profit, they're all screaming for it. And I think some of the hospitality and I think the medical fields, they need it as well. And I think there's some legitimate cases for where we need this stuff. But the stuff that says we need this to make ourselves function in our primary industries, and by the way, we've had this problem for 25 years, and by the way, we're going to have a quick solution again. They just got to drop this addiction with importing fixing their problems by importation, and start investing in real skills.
Yeah, right. Well, skills migration, as you say, has been successful in the past. Could you blame people for thinking that that's the answer again?
Well, I think skills migration is a good idea, but I don't think temporary skills, getting people here on visas, keeping their feet unsteady on the ground, taking away their rights and usually exploiting them, is not a good way to build, you know, skills and relationships that are going to go forward in the way they expected to do.
Yeah, right. It seems like you're saying that that's certainly not a long-term solution.
It's not a long-term solution. The long-term solution is making sure that they get some of their work, their manufacturing, and make sure they get some of their work done in Australia for a start, so we can get those kids the opportunity to work in manufacturing, build the skills that they need, because, to be honest, you know, your resource industry is one big vacuum cleaner for skills, but they don't actually invest back into it, you know? And, you know, you're going to hear BHP and other people raving on about, oh, but we've got a skills program, rah, rah. What they're really trying to do is not give them proper apprenticeships and lock in skills so they're locked into the job. We want potable skills so people can go from one job to the next and flex when they need to in the 21st century.
And why do you think it is that a lot of these big businesses, the big miners, have decided that upskilling local workers is in the too hard basket?
Well, it's easier. It's just easier and cheaper. You know, you can import someone, you own their ticket to work in Australia, they do exactly what they're told, when they're told, how they're told, and they don't complain. You know, it's a perfect solution for them until such time as they can't get them over the border. And now, all of a sudden, they're standing here with an empty bag going, well, where's the skills? We need more people here. Open up the borders, you know. Well, where were they 25? What have they been doing for the last 25 years to build those skills? What have they done to build the manufacturing industry in Western Australia so those apprentices can work on their gear, building their skills, and then go and work in the mines later on? You know, that's what they should be thinking about doing, but they've been pursuing profit and disregarding skills because, obviously, the government, federal and state, have been letting them get these people in for nothing. You know, could you imagine the conversation we would have if they imported labour and we knew that the guy working next to us from somewhere around the world is actually the reason we got another apprentice on the job too? You know, if we've got a skills hole, if we've got a hole for skills, we should be filling it with apprentices while we're backfilling it with foreign labour.
Is the temptation to say to some of these big companies, well, you know, you've made this bed, now you've got to lie in it?
Well, the temptation from the government has been train our people and employ locally, you know, and they're going, oh, it's all too hard. Well, yeah, it's all too hard because they haven't been investing in it for the last 25 years. And from now's their time to make a substantial investment in the future of their company.
Mm. And from the government perspective, we see them talk about education programs, pathways into jobs, that sort of stuff. Do you reckon those programs have delivered?
I reckon those pathways have been a great conversation, but without the investment in those big companies, giving the work back into the state so we can get the... You know, if you get everything done in Malaysia, they're the people who are going to get trained, right? If they're going to get their work and their primary industries done in West Australia, like we've been campaigning for years, right, those kids will get an opportunity, they will get skills, and then they won't ever have to worry about going overseas.
Mm. You talk about kids getting apprenticeships, getting trained, getting into the industry that way. There's the other end of the spectrum here that we have to talk about, because we anecdotally hear about older workers who constantly say they're being overlooked for these jobs. They have decades of experience. They have the skills that are apparently that we're experiencing a shortage of at the moment. Do you think ageism is something that needs to be tackled as well?
Well, one of the things that we push regularly is there's a lot of 50-year-old tradesmen out there that could be reskilled and supported to do real roles that can make a real difference. You know, I think the companies are too easy, too quick to knock off people because of their age, and if you've got an easy option to import labour, then they won't bother investing in this. Mm. This is why the government should be making them invest in this. We've got people that are coming out of the prison system, right, that are getting skills in the prison system that just can't get employment. You know, why aren't we looking at all these other options? You know, I think if they look hard and they try a bit, they might get somewhere. At the moment, all they really have to do is keep bleating to the government, it's not fair, until some soft senator or some soft minister stands up for them and says, yeah, off you go, and with no provision around making sure they build the skills or fix the problem for the future. I think it's a time for the government to stand up and say, if it is a problem, we need a long-term solution, and they need to be part of it.
Mm. Well, the McGowan Government Skills Summit that I mentioned at the top of this segment was rescheduled initially because of the COVID lockdown. It's happening on Friday. What are you hoping will come out of it?
Well, I'm hoping that they, one, will listen to our proposition, two, that we start linking our skills shortages to real training. And if we link our skills shortages, where we identify them, to actually training people to do those roles for the future, we won't have one in the future. And the way to ensure against that, not having skills in the future, is to make sure our primary industries get their upstream stuff manufactured here.
Mm. And the government talks a lot about diversifying the economy. Do you reckon that can happen unless we boost the population of skilled workers in Western Australia?
We've been campaigning for the last 4 years that apprenticeships should be Cert 4, right, with a Cert 3 with a Cert 4 on top. And the Cert 4 is the most interesting proposition for our apprentices at the moment, because what that does, it gives them the opportunity to learn to learn. So a Cert 3 apprenticeship is about learnt by rote and support by peers. And when we've got people in government and in industry saying, these workers have to flex or we have to get new workers, well, we have to give those workers the skill to learn off the back of their own research so they can catch up and get on board with the new technology. You know, we don't want a glass ceiling for our members not to be able to do that work because they just didn't get the training to do it.
Mm. It makes a lot of sense.
It's a simple proposition and it makes sense, but I'm wondering if it makes enough profit for these guys. And that's the thing.
Mm. AMW State Secretary Steve McCartney, thanks for your time. Let's hope this week's summit is really productive.
Cheers, mate.